Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon, the day after Danville Shikellamy. Kevin will talk about that, recap the game for you in just a few moments. Today's show, of course, from the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Besides Kevin's recap of Danville Shikellamy in a few minutes, we'll also delve into spring training. We'll take a look at the Pittsburgh Pirates today with Tim Neverett, the play-by-play voice of the Pirates. He'll join us from Bradenton to talk about the Bucks and how things have been able to shake down for them so far in camp. And it's the time of the year where we talk about championship week and we talk about bracketology. Joe Lunardi, whose ability to predict not only the NCAA tournament as to who's in and who's out, but to properly seed the teams almost every year. There have been years where he has had 67 out of 68 right, including not just in, but where they've been seeded. His ability is uncanny. And it'll be our pleasure to have Joe Lunardi on the show today to talk about where teams are, where they set up, about bracketology, his methodology, and much more. But first, here's Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
We're at the Bryce Jordan Center. We welcome everyone. Today's show, Sunbury Motors Studio, mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, we have the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Kevin, I have Buter in the house.
Hey, we've got the Sunbury Motors Studio really mobile. We're high atop the Bryce Jordan Center, looking down on an empty court, which in a couple hours will be packed with fans for the Penn State-Michigan game.
That's right. Michigan on Joe Lunardi's bracketology is on the number one line, the number one seed line today. We will talk with Joe Lunardi in just a few minutes. Kevin, you had quite a game last night. I know your pregame show guest blew you off, but the end of the game was good.
He did. You know, he was all set. We were all set ready to talk to him, and all of a sudden he goes and starts visiting with other people.
Look, that's what happens, Kevin, when you have instant popularity. And this show did not make Bob Buehner.
Okay? Well, that explains now, it.
The end of the game, though, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Herr stepped up with the call of the high school basketball year.
I just don't like Scotty Heater sneaking around in that corner
right
over there.
In the backcourt, Kozik with 16. Will the Ironmen decide to take the overtime?
Well, they're going to get a shot, but they're not going to be – oh, there's a layup.
Kozik drives in, lays one off the window, no good. Rebound out to Ernie with five. Ernie sets up, finds CJ for the win. Good! CJ from the left side fires up the three, and the Braves – on the Ironman, 50-47. They have cleared the Shikellamy bench.
I gather Shikellamy won.
Apparently, something happened at the end of the game.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Now they're guaranteed a spot.
Yeah, they're
winning, they're guaranteed a spot.
First time, I think, Kevin, in the playoffs for a long time, isn't it?
That's the first time.
Last year.
Well, they played three times in the playoffs since 1999. The Braves had not won any of them. A couple had gone overtime. The two of the three times ended the Shikellamy season. And last year it was for the District 4 championship, which Danville ended up winning. So it was a very big win. 0 in their last 12 meetings against Danville.
and really came down, as you characterized it, literally to what, 0.5 of a tenth of a second left?
0.7, because I took a glance at the clock right before he left go.
Yeah, well, it's above all, though, after a run, it was a mediocre first half in which they looked like they were out of it. They resurrected themselves in the second half. They really showed their championship mettle because they put themselves back in the game, then put themselves in a position to win, then they took advantage of it.
You know, Danville played very, very well. Danville played very, very well right out of the gate. Bob, you can attest to this. It did not look like they had a 10-game layoff until probably the third quarter, and that's when they started to make passes that didn't look like typical Danville passes.
One of the big problems the Ironmen had last night was their star Brett Berg was playing on one really bad ankle, and I to this day don't understand why the Danville coach didn't rest him more frequently in the first half, because by the fourth quarter he was really, really hurting and couldn't keep up with the Shikellamy offense.
And for Danville, this is a tough blow because you go in as the number one seed. This is not a case where you look at it as the number one seed in a conference basketball tournament and you don't make it, and thus you get an at-large bid. This is like being the number one seed in the Patriot, not winning and not going. And there's no NIT to fall back on. That has to be a heartbreaking loss for them, as exhilarating a win as it was for Shikellamy.
And you know, the Ironmen, this is first time they have not been in the playoffs in quite a few years, in the PIAA state playoffs.
But, you know, the two things that stood out to me in the game, Scotty Heater had an unbelievable game, and you heard Dave Ritchie talking about that. Scotty was 4-for-4 outside the arc, and that's not bad for a forward who averages 9 a game. He was very, very dangerous and on Shikellamy's radar there in the fourth quarter. But I credit the way Robbie Coons and a lot of the other Danville Ironmen came out of the locker room after they collected themselves, and they were out giving hugs and handshakes to the Shikellamy Braves in a very, very physical game.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's great. Now Shikellamy moves on. They're going to find out between Milton and Athens tonight as to which team they'll play. They had to postpone last night's game until tonight. And they will play this evening. And then we'll find out who Shikellamy gets next and whether or not Kevin gets to scream again.
That'll probably happen no matter what.
Yeah, but I wish you'd stop doing it in the pregame show.
I told you it was going to be an exciting game, didn't I?
Joe Lenardi breaks down the brackets. Joey Brackets joining us from St. Louis.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome you to the Bryce Jordan Center. Michigan and Penn State coming up tonight. Will there be as dramatic a finish tonight as Shikellamy and Danville?
You could only hope.
We'll find out. In the next hour, we're going to replay your ending.
Okay.
And I want to be able to see if I can hear some of the words.
Oh, now stop. I got a whisker excited, okay?
I know you got excited. I'm talking about the crowd is, you know. And Richie on the table dancing didn't help either.
It was a sight to see, though. I've never seen a 6'5 man move that good.
Oh. You haven't seen basketball in this league. All right. We are here at the Bryce Jordan Center, where tonight Penn State plays Michigan. Earlier today, I had a chance to talk to a guy who usually gets 67 out of 68 right, and I don't mean just in the field. I mean where they're also seated. That's how good he is. Joe Lenardi, my old friend.
Joe, an interesting night in college basketball last night. And Minnesota, while not teetering on being out of the tournament, is not exactly won people over with how they played the last 6 weeks. Then they win last night. What did that do to them in terms of the line they might be on now as opposed to the line they may have been on Monday?
It certainly helps in terms of the comfort line, that's for sure, Steve. You know, falling to 6-9 in the league with three games to go, you know, really would have tightened the noose around the Gophers a little bit. And now they can relax and, you know, play maybe a little more freely and easily because they are still a really good team. They were as much a victim of just the crushing 10 schedule as much as they were poor play. So I would say, you know, they've gone from, you know, maybe flirting with a 10 and 11 type of seed to being back in the single digit range. And, you know, given their upcoming schedule, which is a little friendlier, headed to the Big Ten tournament, probably only move at this point.
Yeah, in fact, State will be their next game, and that will be Saturday. So that's the last Big Ten team I have not seen in person. And then I've got Nebraska and Iowa after that, as you point out. You make an interesting point. Obviously, I've seen everybody in the Big Ten except Minnesota in person. It's a conference that is eating itself up. How difficult is it for you to look at what lines teams will be on in conference each other that all the time?
In some respects, Steve, I feel like that professor with the big stack of term papers. You know, I should just stand at the top of the steps and throw them down. You know, the ones on the top lines get, you know, A's and B's, and the ones in the middle get C's and D's, and the ones at the bottom fail. I have to read them all. Like, we all had guys like that in class, right?
We all have.
It's difficult, but there is a little bit more of a system to it than that, certainly the term paper approach. And you have to look at who, you know, teams play twice in the league, you know, what the committee would call, you know, one plays versus two plays. Obviously Indiana and Michigan are going to play for a second time the last weekend of the regular season. You know, Indiana and Michigan State played twice, that type of thing. And I actually keep an RPI and a schedule strength calculation for intra-conference games to help identify disparities. If you've got two teams, you know, that are both, let's say, 9-6 in the league, and one just has got the better of the scheduling to a certain point, and I find that to be very helpful. Although, you know, in Indiana's case, lately, the last month or so, last night's loss notwithstanding, I think they've clearly been, you know, the best team in the league,
mm-hmm.
and
I
the
agree.
Best team in the country.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, it's interesting.
More often than not.
Right, more often than not. And it's interesting because that's when people have asked me, how do I look at a conference, I tell them the very first thing I look at are one plays. I want to know who you play twice. I want to know who you play once, because I think that helps determine what direction the power team is going in and where the game is going to be played. And that,
right.
Yeah, and Indiana's win at Michigan State was one of those signature wins. You still have them today on the one line, correct?
I have them still number one overall.
Right.
And I said last week after the win over Michigan State that that was really going to be kind of a fulcrum game for them if they could win it, because it was all but going to guarantee them the regular season championship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may, you know, still come down to the last game against Michigan now. With last night's loss, I was giving them a loss in one of their two remaining road games.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, you know, the regular season champion of this league is, it almost has to be a one seed, and it almost has to be the Midwest region. And for Indiana, that almost has to mean Indianapolis, which I think is a pack your bags for Atlanta kind of draw.
Exactly, and not only that, they have great familiarity there. You put now, after Florida lost Tennessee last night, Florida had been on your one line Monday. Michigan, which plays Penn State tonight, ascends to a one line, correct?
Yes, so I'm counting on the Knits here, Steve, to keep me up late by upsetting a one seed and forcing me to roll the dice again with the top teams in the field.
There you go.
I know you're up for it.
I'm up for it. I'm ready for it. Set to go. In fact, I talked to John Beilein about it Monday night. He told me flat out, he says, this team worries me. So, you know, they played into an 8-point game. But you have them on the one line. Now, does Florida still have the door open to be a one?
I think it's closing pretty fast because there are too many teams now for them to have to pass. You know, looking at the teams that are ahead of them, Michigan and Michigan State, Duke and Miami, Gonzaga, Kansas,
yeah,
and whoever wins the Big East, if it's Georgetown or Louisville in particular. So I think that Florida's situation, because the SEC is so weak, relatively speaking,
Right.
They pretty much had to run the table to stay there because they were going to be, you know, pretty solid favorites in every remaining game.
Now, Gonzaga, contrary to popular, to the casual fan and even to some others, they don't realize Gonzaga's 10-2 against the top 100. You feel pretty good about them, Joe, being on a one line in the.
No, I think they're going to get passed as well. And through no fault of their own, they just don't play the kind of games in the next 2.5 weeks that the teams chasing them will play.
Yeah, it's not strong enough, yeah.
Yeah, I think worst case, though, is, you know, if they fall to 5 overall, let's say, or 6 overall, and they're the 2 seed in the West, it really is kind of one of those distinctions without a difference because, you know, they'd still be paired with whoever the 1 seed is. And it might have been the same pairing had they been the 1 and that team was the 2.
Right.
Right, so they play in a regional final projected, and, you know, they wear blue uniforms instead of white. So, I don't think it's that huge of a deal as long as they're a 1 or a 2.
Is Miami?
They're going to be in Salt Lake.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is, as can be for them. And then probably in the West, which is L.A. So I think the Zags are in. If they're ever going to make a Final Four, you know, after this, you know, 10 or 12-year run of excellence, this is about as good a setup as they've had.
It's true. Is Duke-Miami a Cameron Indoor, a 1-seed playoff game?
It is unless they play again in the ACC final.
Right.
Right? You know, because we could be talking at, like, I think Duke will win on Saturday just because it's their turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we're looking at a mostly neutral court game, a potential rubber game in the ACC tournament. I say mostly neutral because, you know, the ACC tournament isn't normally contested in South Florida.
Never. I think they were, Tampa once. I talked to somebody in North Carolina a couple weeks ago. I said, look, we did the D.C. experiment. It's over. I'm in North Carolina. I mean, he told me that. That was about as direct as you get.
Yeah, and I think with Maryland leaving for the Big Ten, their D.C. days are probably in the past.
And that was his point. We did the Verizon thing once. See you later. Now, the next part of this is that let's flip down to the other end of it. Should people understand that Kentucky's resume actually starts with Nerlens Noel's injury, and now that's their resume?
They should understand it. They don't understand it. And I could talk till I'm blue in the face or maybe even Kentucky blue in the face. And, you know, they're just not happening like everybody thinks, you know, because they just beat Missouri in a close game that, you know, all is right with their world. Well, they also had a narrow home win over So-So Vandy team, and they got absolutely drilled by the same Tennessee team, you know, that pulled that upset of Florida last night. I do not think Kentucky is safe. I'm just going to say we'll see on them. I will say this. There was a point in time a couple of weeks ago, right after the injury, where both Kentucky and North Carolina were flirting with Dayton, you know, for the first 4 rounds.
Right.
And it occurred to me that, you know, if the committee was Machiavellian, and, you know, they wanted to promote and permanently cement the first 4 as an event, sending North Carolina and Kentucky to Dayton, maybe even having them play each other, it might make the whole southern part of Ohio explode. But that, you know, it would be must-see TV.
No doubt.
Maybe on an order of magnitude a little bit better than, you know, what was the first night last year, like Iona and BYU.
Yeah.
Not to knock those teams, but, you know, the casual fan isn't going to tune in on a Tuesday night for that.
You and
but
I
probably
you,
has
yeah.
heard.
Yeah, you
probably
and I would
has
watch
heard
it.
Of,
yeah,
it's heard of Carolina. I mean, you and I would watch it, you know, if it was St. Bernard at CYO against
exactly.
State College. But that's because we're, you know, a little bit ill.
Yeah, exactly. Well, some would say maybe a little bit more than a little. but
why get my life back? 4 weeks, Steve. I don't know about you.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. North Carolina safely, and they're probably like in an 8-9 game right now, right?
I think I have them 9-10.
9-10?
No, I'm sorry. 7-8.
Okay, so they're right around that area.
They're going to keep moving.
Yeah, they'll keep moving up. And Kentucky, again, people have to understand, their resume started because you have to go with the team that is elected, not the team that used to play.
I think so in this car, like Kenyon Martin and Cincinnati and the Erie broke his leg in the conference tournament and all.
Right.
Well, but you were talking the number one overall team in the country.
Right.
And needs to be played with the team have to evaluate.
Right.
And I mean, you know, it was reasonable to say, well, they're not a one seed anymore, maybe without the National Player of the Year, but they're still a pretty good team.
Right.
Like, this Kentucky team was not, like, gangbusters to begin with.
Right.
So like, really look hard to see if they're a tournament team. And I think the jury is, right, you know, still out.
Well, they were blue jerseys on the first day of the tournament if they were in to begin with. That's your point. You know, they weren't going to wear white jerseys as the upper seed.
Correct. They might have to win the SEC tournament to avoid that.
Is Villanova the definition of a bubble team?
Wow. Yeah, Villanova, you know, has one kind of common profile. You know, really great wins, but, you know, frankly, you want, like, I don't mean to be rude. They're not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said that to Villanova people. And it's not just the St. Joe guy in me coming out. Like, they're overachieving and playing tough-minded against, you know, some pretty good teams in the Big East. And, you know, I'll say this, like, the Big East style anymore, you know, kind of keeps both teams in the game.
Yes.
Because they're such low-scoring, grinding games. Kind of like used to be more common in maybe a league that you're in.
Oh, no doubt. And I've seen it repeatedly.
So that's one kind of bubble team, and to their credit, they've hung and won enough of those games. Then you got like Virginia as one kind of bubble team, mm-hmm, you know, with some really good wins, and then, you know, what they're like 0-3 in the CAA, which should be impossible, losing to Delaware, George Mason, and an Old Dominion team that was, you know, so strong that they fired their coach with a month ago. So you know, that could go either way. And the non-conference schedule that Virginia played really was like St. Bernadette's and State College. So I am a little bit concerned about them. And now, you know, Tennessee right on the cut line,
right,
making this kind of late-run bubble team that says, hey, don't forget about us.
Right. Yeah, Konzo Martin's team has done something on the stretch between Kentucky and Florida. So everyone will obviously emphasize last four in, first four out on this particular day. How does that shake down?
It goes Temple, Kentucky, Villanova, Ole Miss on the good side. And on the other side, it goes Tennessee, Baylor, Arizona State, Alabama. I think what's interesting about those lists today is, you know, two of each foursome are SEC teams.
Right.
And you know, I guess the flip of that, the team just above the last four in is LaSalle. So I got three of my last five in are Philly Big Five teams,
yeah.
So it's like the bubble landed in my backyard, and I can't get rid of it.
Right. For you, okay, just for you personally, you know, you do a lot now on TV, especially at this time of the year. You've been doing the St. Joe's broadcast. Has doing the St. Joe's broadcast over the years, even though television's a different animal, has that made you more relaxed in that setting because you have that experience on the air? Has that helped you along the way just by doing games?
I think there's no doubt, Steve, and it's a great question because I have no formal training in any of this on-air stuff. You know, I was always the kind of kid growing up who was, you know, more likely to make his living, you know, with his mouth than with his athletic ability or lack of it.
you're talking to one.
Yeah, and of course, you know, now I'm in a household of only a wife and teenage daughter, so, you know, having that verbal acumen is critical just for day-to-day survival. like I'm fourth in my own house.
Oh, yeah.
You know, most days I can at least sneak past the dog, but yes, but I think it also more than anything, you know, it kind of keeps you grounded, you know, because let's face it, you and I are not at blue blood basketball schools.
Yeah.
So there's not a sense of entitlement.
Exactly.
I think we have a realistic sense of, you know, what we are and what we're not, and it helps me with kind of my, which is like, it's really a take the work seriously, but not yourself.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I'm talking about basketball.
Right.
And, you know, if God forbid I ever had to go get a real job, you know, that would be the problem.
You and I would be in the same line. We'd be in the same line.
Yeah, I think the unemployment line.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's interesting because I said to somebody the other day, I said, you know, Dick Girardi and I, when we talk about rules on the air, like block charge and things like that, you mentioned not being at a blue blood basketball. When we talk about that, we talk about a good of the game. We're not talking about looking at it as a personal stake as to what it meant to the team we broadcast, because they're not a blue blood basketball school. So I think that's why we look at things with more neutrality.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we've all had our runs of success.
Sure.
And
Penn State was in,
know,
2 years ago, which was awesome.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, broadcasting, you know, winning teams is more fun than the opposite.
You got that right.
you know, but again, like, we're not breaking rocks at work every day. Like, this
no.
is fun. Like you're doing a game tonight in which Penn State's a decided underdog, and you're still excited to go. I'm doing a game, St. Joe's at St. Louis tonight, in which the Hawks are a decided underdog, and I'm excited to see St. Louis. And
right.
You know,
it's the greatest job on the face of the earth. I would not trade doing a Penn State basketball game tonight. And I didn't say Penn State, Michigan. I would not trade doing a Penn State basketball game tonight for any other job, because I love, you know, my job. The coach I work with is incredible. And, you know, obviously, I'm deeply tied to the program. You feel the same way about St. Joe's.
And I do think, you know, you probably need to maybe reconsider your choice of color man. But as a way, but no, seriously, like, Dick is like so easy to be around.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Like, let's face it, you can have a partner at this who's, you know, kind of a tool, and
right.
neither of us do. So,
right,
you know, yeah. Hey, honey, I'm going to be gone for a week. I'm going to go see 3 basketball games. Well,
that's what I always say. I leave on Saturday morning. You'll love this. On Saturday morning, when I leave to go do Penn State football, I always say, I'm going to the mine. I'll be back.
Yeah, exactly. Another tough day at the office.
I get to work with Jack Hamm and broadcast Penn State football. Ooh.
Exactly.
I'm sprinting out the door. Joe, it is always an absolute pleasure. Appreciate the insight very, very much. And I know that we'll talk to you down the road, because I know we got our one shot with you about this, and we appreciate it very much.
Well, Steve, just go ahead and, you know, if you don't win tonight, go win the Big Ten tournament so you keep me up late all selection weekend.
There you go. That'd be great. Thanks, Joe.
All right. See you. Bye. Right.
Joe Lunardi, ESPN Bracketologist,
Harrisburg Patriot. Audrey, it's always a pleasure to have.
We will come back with more and the Kevin Hurt Call of the Day on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Veloster 3-door coupe with black interior under 7,000 miles, lowest price promise, $17,999. A 2006 Lincoln LS 4-door V8 sports sedan, just $12,455. Ford F-150 regular cab, $17,995. A 2012 Hyundai Elantra 4-door sedan GLS, just $15,943. And a beautiful 2003 Ford Mustang Premium Mach 1, just $16,997. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915. 888-536-8017.
Kevin, strong segment by you.
I do what I can.
Hey, Buhner and I were enthralled by. But you know what? There's certain things in there. First of all, Michigan comes in tonight on the one line. I mean, that is one of the things about tonight's game. Michigan comes in on the one line tonight. And that's something that's important. It's, you know, because tonight's game, you're like, oh, yeah, it's Penn State, Michigan. The game figures. The game matters in the big picture.
And not only that, but the Lions played them rather tough out in Michigan a few weeks ago.
Talked to Jim about that tonight, as a matter of fact, on his show. And we talked about the fact that, you know, in that game, you know, they played tough. And look, the announcers, Kevin Kugler and Tim Doyle, Timmy's doing the game tonight, which one of the five funniest guys on the planet. And they said to Patrick, they said, Patrick Chambers, you know, what'd you do the first time? He says, I don't know, we made shots. Sometimes it's that simple.
A team that can make shots is a dangerous team. Isn't that right, Kevin?
Yes.
The Braves.
Yes, very much so. Especially if you make them at the right times.
And, you know, another game tonight, Bucknell hosts American at 7 o'clock in Soica.
And not only that, that's important because Bucknell will clinch the Patriot and the number one seed in the Patriot tournament by winning tonight's game.
And third time in a row.
Which hasn't happened in the Patriot.
No.
Which is remarkable. Dave Paulson's team's done a great job. Kevin's still on a sugar high after last night. It's like he's had 25 teams.